Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Playoff odds models for the first time in 2024 to make the playoffs.
That's good.
Gear up.
I like it.
We're going to get a new hoodie, Bob.
Gonna get into the postseason.
Gonna do it. Gonna love it. Not sure why, but this guy has a lot to do with it.
Fastball drilled. Deep to left field. Steer turns around. It's way out of here. Second deck home run. Bobby Witt Jr. A not-so-secret secret weapon.
A not-so-secret secret weapon, I think, is about the best way you can describe that. Because, again, as we do this all the time, I was having conversations with friends over the weekend. And it's nice to see that you finally get to see a guy go to a town that plays for the Royals where they basically just say, oh, yeah, they got Bobby Witt. Oh, crap, we're in trouble.
A not-so-secret secret weapon. I don't really understand what that means, but everybody knows who Bobby is, right? Like, he is just phenomenal right now. And I hope everybody is paying attention and appreciating what's going on. We talked about it earlier about how he's the youngest player since George Brett to get 500 career hits. This did it as quickly as anybody other than George Brett. You know, in Royals history, he's stacking up the home runs. He's stacking up the RBIs. He's going to be in conversation for the rest of the year, you know, for the MVP. He's become a national kind of star, I think. And when this team makes it to the postseason and the rest of the country can see Bobby Witt in games that matter, I think Bobby Witt's really going to rise to the top. And I think Bobby Witt's going to be one of those guys where once the postseason is over, people are going to be like, how come we didn't talk more about Bobby Witt from a national perspective? Well, that's because you guys focus on the I-95 corridor in baseball, and that is it. And going into next season, he's going to be the most talked about player. And I think everybody's going to be talking about the steal of a contract that the Royals got for Bobby Witt Jr. because right now it looks like the Royals are fleecing Bobby Witt, right, with that new contract. Like, imagine if they didn't get that deal done, Dusty, what right. Bobby Witt would be getting in the open market. Now, I know there's opt-outs and all that kind of stuff that we can get into, but nonetheless, the Royals got themselves a huge bargain by signing Bobby Witt Jr. before this season, and he's gone out there and earned that money. He's not one of these guys who you signed to a contract and got fat and happy and just kind of, you know, coasted. He's gone out there and showed the Royals that they made the right investment. In fact, he's showing the Royals they probably should have invested more out of Bobby Witt Jr.
Right. And we'll have Josh Ferner on here at about 8:20 after the next break. But 500 hits, played, what, a total of maybe 2 years, if you want to call that, under his belt. He's not going to win the MVP. Judge is going to win the MVP. You just
resigned yourself to that. Yeah.
I know that's what it's going to be. The Yankees are the best team in baseball. They have the numbers are there. He's hitting like .333 with 50 home runs. Who cares?
Right.
I know it's not 50. Text line before you come after me. It's close. But there's a reason why when John Sherman took over, there were a couple of questions a lot of people had. And you can like or dislike John Sherman no matter what your opinion is. But one thing that I think everyone has to agree on is he did something that not a lot of people thought he was going to do, because Royals of the past, not players, I guess some, have never been able to do what John Sherman did. And that is lock in an all-star. And I remember how much...
Or wanted to do what John Sherman did too.
Right. And I still remember watching Carlos Beltran go to the Houston Astros and absolutely torch everyone in the playoffs, knowing that 3 weeks prior he was wearing a Royals knitted uniform and knowing that he would never wear another one again. Johnny Damon goes and wins two World Series with two different teams and goes to play for the Evil Empire and the Boston Red Sox and the A's and whoever else, knowing that he was never going to be a Royal again. And what John Sherman did is that he knew from voices within that system that this kid was going to pan out. And when you make an investment like John Sherman did early on, and then you see that the immediate results of after making that investment are Bobby Witt Jr., who now has 500 hits, who is fringe line MVP, could be the MVP if you asked, you know, whoever.
Oh, he'll get votes.
Oh, he'll be very, it will be a very close vote.
Yeah.
It will be a very, like, if it's a total of, which I know it's, I'm just kidding, if it's 10 total votes, Aaron Judge will win 6-4.
Probably something
if
like
that's
that.
How
yeah,
you
I, think
did it.
I think it's going to be close, yeah.
And the other thing that I love about this is that they gave Bobby Witt Jr. the contract, and they're not doing to him what the Angels did to Trout. And I bring that up because the Royals and Angels will play a three-game series starting tonight.
And Trout, shockingly, will not be playing here.
Right. But the thing about this is that in Los Angeles...
The good news is they're still paying Pujols, though.
Right. But the thing about this in Los Angeles is they never supported Trout's roster. Now, the best roster he had, unfortunately for them, the Royals swept them in three games, and it was over. But they built a pitching staff. They've got Salvador Perez still on this team as a captain. They've done well drafting, at least you would think, with Pasquantino in that lineup, with Sal still there, with Bobby Witt Jr. And then now, all of a sudden, you add this Blanco kid who's shown a little bit of a surgence over the weekend. Three home runs, won a grand slam, yada, yada, yada. But you love to see that they not only signed their superstar, they not only brought in a pitching rotation around him, and Cole Reagans with a trade with J.J. Piccolo, which is one of the greater trades we've seen in a long time in Royals history or Royals franchise history. They bring in Lugo. They bring in Waka. They bring this sort of thing. Not only that, I parlay that on, they were extremely active, whether you believe it or not, they were active in the trade market this year.
And now, they made moves. I mean, they're not in playoff position if they don't trade for Ursig.
And when you parlay all of that, this team is four games off from having the best record in baseball, and John Sherman, your owner, doing exactly what you asked him to do. Build this franchise back, get it back to the postseason, and sign your damn superstar. And he's done all of that. And today is one of those days where I think, unfortunately for those who don't like him, fortunately for those who do, you tip your damn cap to the owner of this team because he's actually done what you've asked.
Yeah, it's kind of what I said all along when John Sherman took over the team. This is a guy that wants to win, and this is a guy that's going to win here in Kansas City. And everybody wanted to doubt John Sherman because we went through the David Glass era. And depending on who you talk to, they say, well, was Glass a successful owner? Kept the team in Kansas City, ended up winning a world championship. But there were a lot of lean years. There was a lot of, you know, opportunity to sign players that he just didn't take advantage of because he didn't want to spend, you know, that kind of money and sign those players and get those guys locked up long term. I've talked to enough people over the years now that have basically said, yeah, I don't know if Glass locks up Bobby Witt like we saw with John Sherman. And I think that's a fair conversation to have, because other than Mike Sweeney and Salvi, you know, when Dayton got involved and just started signing Salvador Perez to contracts, right? Like, David Glass didn't sign a lot of people long term. So I think it's fair to say he probably would not have given Bobby Witt the kind of offer that John Sherman did to keep Bobby Witt here in Kansas City. And I think that's important to point out, because there is some venom for John Sherman, especially when he took over his ownership of this team. I don't understand why people don't like John Sherman. Like, he's literally doing everything we we've ever asked for a baseball owner to do. He's kind of following in the footsteps of Ewing Kaufman. Ewing made George Brett the highest paid player in baseball. Now, obviously, the numbers were different back then. It was a different game. But Ewing Kaufman went out and spent money. Ewing Kaufman went out and made trades. Ewing Kaufman went out and made moves to try to make this team better. And that's exactly what John Sherman's doing. Think about everything that he invested in, his ownership group invested in the team this offseason, from a Bobby Witt Jr. contract and then signing Lugo and signing Waka, right? And going out and signing Hunter Renfro and spending, you know, $15 million a year on him. Like, people forget they went out and revamped this entire roster and invested into this. And if you're a Royals fan and you're still having doubts over John Sherman, then maybe he's just never going to win you over. But for my money right now, this guy's doing everything you could possibly want in the owner of your franchise. It's been awesome and fun to watch. He's got the town excited again. He's got the ball club playing good baseball, getting ready to go into the postseason. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything more from an owner of our baseball team than we're seeing right now. John Sherman's doing it the right way.
And it's a beautiful thing. You love to see it because you can tack this into another conversation we don't need to get into, but what was the one thing that you probably heard a lot of people say when we had stadium talk? Give me a product on the field, and then we can talk about a stadium.
Well, they gave you the product on the field.
Everything that he's done, he's kind of played his cards right.
The stadium talk is interesting, too, because I spoke to somebody over the weekend about it, and they go, the Royals have basically told everybody, we're tabling this until October's over, which I think is great, because if this team makes the playoffs and goes on a run, I think people are going to be more supportive of helping John Sherman build a brand new ballpark for everybody here in Kansas City. I think Mayor L's idea of Washington Square Park is a bad one because you don't take over a park to put a stadium. We've got the East Village location. Let's focus on that. Let's take care of business there. There's a plenty of land there that can be turned into a baseball stadium. You don't have to uproot a ton of people. Mm-hmm. Put it there. That's where it all makes sense. But I think at the end of this season, people are going to look at John Sherman and go, all right, you put a winner on the field. And look, I don't blame baseball fans in Kansas City for feeling burned all the time, right? Because we were. I mean, let's be honest. Other than saving that franchise and giving us the 2 years in 14 and 15, the era of glass was burning Royals fans.
Yeah.
100 lost seasons, bad baseball, not a good product. People were not enamored by it. And so for some people to come to the party a little bit slower, I understand that. But the party's going on now. It's time to show up and be, you know, be a member of this party because it's a lot of damn fun, man.
Someone who's been, I guess you could call a coordinator of this sort of party all season long, must be fun for one Joshua Vernier. It's been a rough 9 years for one Vern, I would say. Maybe 8 years. But, hey, he loves baseball. We love him. He joins us on the other side. Fesco, Likens, Maury. This is 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
All right, back here on Fesco and Dusty. Mac, we always talk about how relatable we can be to an audience.
Mm-hmm.
Generational.
Timeless.
I'm going to tell you a name of someone who passed away just now.
Just now, we just lost him.
And I want you to guess his profession.
Oh, gosh.
He died at the age of 88.
Okay.
RIP to Phil Donahue. What did Phil Donahue do?
Phil Donahue, let's say 88. Phil was a great coach, man. Phil was such a good coach.
He was, yeah.
He really
Unless
was.
Unless he wasn't. One of the great like talk show hosts of all time. Like he was the first like Jerry Springer, basically, you know, like daytime talk show.
Kind of a coach.
Yeah.
That's kind of a coach.
Coached up Jerry Springer and Morton Downey Jr. And, you know, Oprah came after him and, you know, Sally, Jesse, Raphael, Geraldo, they all come off that Phil Donahue tree.
Yeah.
Better coaching tree. Phil Donahue or Andy Reid.
According to Mac. Phil, he did this. He goes, Phil Donahue. Oh, it sounds familiar.
Yeah.
88. I'm going to say he was a great coach.
Great coach.
So sports driven at the ripe age of 24.
22, man. Sports is everything.
Oh, man.
26 this month.
All right.
26.
So he's 25. Still living it. But yeah, I mean, it sucks. Phil Donahue, man. He was like the first guy who was trying to tell people who their father was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it was all downhill from there.
Vern, did you know who Phil Donahue was?
So he's 25, still living it, but yeah, I mean, it's...
Hey, what's that? We're getting feedback from Vern on the AM.
Nice. I say that sounded a lot like Bob Fesco.
And that was all downhill from there.
It is Bob
it
Fesco.
It is me. Uh-oh, Max struggling.
He's trying to find Phil Donahue.
I couldn't care less about Phil Donahue. I want to kiss Vern.
We'll get Vern on here in a second and talk to him about this series tonight and what this series was over the weekend.
I'm excited to see if Vern's excited about you throwing the first pitch and me beating Cody in the hot dog race tonight.
Mm. Well, I can't be honest. It's got to go much better than the last time I ever did something at Kauffman Stadium because I got roasted by Denny Matthews the last time I did it.
We've had a rough show, though, here on 610 Nights. One of our hosts tried to steal the base out there in right field, and he was a cool 5 seconds late crossing the finish line. I'm sure he's going to be hanging his head and hoping that, especially you two, did not see that.
They could have. There's a gapper into right center field, and that's going to get by Kyle Isbell and roll to the wall. So Willie Castro is on. And this is the fourth straight inning that the Tigers have had their leadoff man on.
I started to say, Fizz, they could have videotaped that dash from the right field corner in slow motion, but that would have been redundant.
I was going to say, the use of the word dash.
A little dash, yeah. He ran out of steam real early.
He sure did.
Well, Vern, it's time to redeem myself, so here we go. Tonight, pitch one of the evening is your boy. You got any advice?
No. I've never thrown out a first pitch. I'll be cheering you on, though. I think it's really cool. Throwing it to the old man.
Yeah, isn't that good?
Yeah, man. I mean, I could get real sappy about that, but that's going to warm my heart watching that tonight. Don't screw it up, because I will boo you, though.
Yeah, and of course, on the day that Phil Donahue passed away, too, so it's a big moment.
Oh, my God,
you know?
R.I.P.
Yeah,
R.I.P.
can you believe that?
The GOAT.
What a great coach he was, right?
He sure was, man. You know, he really knew how to get the boys going.
Really prepped them up good before the
really
big
got
action.
Really got them moving in the right direction to go get one for the home team, Vern, right?
Not strong when it came to X's and O's, but he sure did know how to fire the boys
he
up.
Really right. Did. He really did. Speaking of firing people up, I think Ursaig has kind of fired us all up from a bullpen standpoint. Like, this guy's just sick. He goes out there and just gets the job done. Where are we without Ursaig on the team?
Begging, praying, hoping that someone in that bullpen steps up, eagerly awaiting John Schreiber and Hunter Harvey coming back off the IL. This is strange. I never thought I would say this so quickly. I mean, the guy's made, 8 appearances, 9 1/3 innings so far from Lucas Ursaig, but I put him in the same class as Bobby, Vinny, Salvi, Lugo, Singer, Reagans, and Michael Wacha. To me, those are the, I guess that's 8. Those are the 8 players that, as of right now, must be all-star, if not better, moving forward for this team to track down Cleveland. And quite honestly, those 8 may need to pitch, hit, defend at an all-star level, even for this team to make the playoffs. I understand everyone feeling good after that dominating sweep over the Cincinnati Reds, but as you guys alluded to earlier, that riptide, that 20-game stretch against playoff teams and only playoff teams, that gets started up on Friday. Now, I hope that a Michael Garcia and Michael Massey, I hope Kyle Isbell and Michael Lorenzen and Sam Long and some other relievers, I'm hoping that these guys can step up over the course of that 20-game stretch. But from what we've all seen over the first 3 quarters of the season, this team's going to go as far as those big 4 in the rotation. By the way, those 4 all rank top 20 in Major League Baseball as far as ERA is concerned. There's not another team in the sport that has more than 2 players top 20 in baseball in ERA. Royals have 4 of the top 20. This team's going to go as far as those 4 starters and the big 3 run producers in the lineup take you, not to mention Lucas Ursaig. To me, it's somewhat unfair, right? Again, he's only been here 9 games. Lugo and Wacha and the rest of those names I gave you, those guys have been delivering for this team for 4 months now. And yet, while they've earned the pressure While they've earned the weight of expectations as we head down the stretch, I don't think Urcic has the body of work to say that he's earned it, but tough break, bro. We need spot. We need you to be Wade Davis, Greg Holland, Kelvin Herrera. I think he's capable of doing it, but we don't know for sure. His time in Oakland was always on a losing team. That 20-game stretch that starts up on Friday, for as important as the rotation is, Lucas Urcic is shoulder-to-shoulder with him, carrying the weight of this team's playoff hopes.
Vern, also, too, you mentioned, you know, the 20 games that are coming up. How much more of an importance now are we putting on this three-game series against the Anaheim Angels, who quit in April?
Yeah, it's... You know, it's a lot like the Cincinnati series. I go into it saying you got to win two of three. And when you win the first two, I'm going to say you got to sweep them going into the finale. That's what I'm saying yesterday. It's tough to ask for a road sweep. But when you take the first two games the way that the Royals did, how can you expect anything less than what they did yesterday? And it's the exact same thing against the Angels. You're going to have... Just like you did against Cincinnati, the reason why you dominated that series so much was because your starting pitcher was better every single night. Mm-hmm. Your defense was so much better than Cincinnati's throughout that series. You ran the bases better. And when Vinny, Salvi, and Bobby had an opportunity to drive in a run, they did just that. Those things need to continue. Like we just talked about with Lucas Urcic and the big names on this roster. They need to do the heavy lifting. Again, I hope Garcia and Isbell and Renfro and Melendez can come up big in spots. I hope, you know, Dairon Blanco can keep it up moving forward, but I'm not banking on it. I'm banking on the rotation, Urcic, and the big bats hitting 2-3-4. They need to deliver against the Angels, and I have no reason to believe that they won't, especially with what I'm hoping are pretty solid crowds showing up the next three nights, especially after you see 30,000 show up for every game in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
For a team that I guess is still kind of in it, but they're not really in it.
But you also have Lugo and Reagan's going, you know, in the first two games of this series, and then Lorenzen kind of backs it up against TBD, who I don't know about you, he's got good stuff. These are the games you got to take advantage of. When you got your horses going, man, you got to go out there and, you know, take care of business. The Lugo one's going to be interesting because I've heard from a lot of people saying, is he gassed? Is he reached his inning limit? You know, like a lot of old baseball C-meds feel like, well, he's reached his innings limit. Where do you feel on that?
Too bad. You know, no matter what it is, if he is just struggling, if he is hitting a wall, I don't care. I need you to push through. The 38 games left for the rest of your life. Now, Seth Lugo isn't whining. He isn't complaining. The team's not going to risk further injury, right? This is a guy that you still likely have under contract for the next two seasons. So you're going to be smart with him. But if he continues to take the ball, that's him and the team telling you he's healthy. So if he's healthy, I need you to continue to perform at an all-star level. Honestly, I think this team needs Seth Lugo to lead Major League Baseball in innings pitched. I think they need Seth Lugo to finish the season top 10 in ERA. I just don't see where the offset comes from if there is regression from Seth Lugo. Okay, if he takes a step back, if he's no longer that ace, you know, shoulder to shoulder with Cole Reagans leading this rotation, if that's no longer Seth Lugo, okay, who makes up for it? Is it Garcia? Is it Melendez, Renfro, Massey? Is it another reliever? Because the innings that are being logged by Seth Lugo are innings not logged by the bullpen, by someone other than Lucas Urcic and Seth Lugo. So who's picking up those innings? I hope it's Seth Lugo. If it's not, if he can't carry the rotation the way that he has for the better part of the first 3.5 months of this season, someone else needs to pick up the slack, and I don't know where you look for that. I don't know if it's the offense, it's the bullpen, it's a Michael Lorenzen. Are you really going to ask more from Waka, more from Reagans, more from Singer? I don't think so. So, yeah, Seth Lugo's going to be the story. But like I said yesterday with Brady Singer, Bob, I think it's kind of a no-win situation like yesterday was for Singer, to where the naysayers are showing up regardless. Yeah. If you go out there and shove, it's going to be well, of course. Brady always pitches well against bad teams. Let's see what he does next time out against Philadelphia or Cleveland. I think the same thing's going to hold true for Lugo, to where no matter what happens tonight, the naysayers, the doubters are going to be coming out and still skeptical moving forward.
Vern,
color yourself shocked if you think I'm overreacting here, but what did this weekend create for a guy like Darren Blanco after his performance against Cincinnati? Was it just a flash in the pan, or is this something where it's like, keep the kid there until he shows us he's not going to do that? And like, I know he's not going to hit three home runs, a grand slam every weekend, but
why
again,
not?
Looks like he's kind of got a little groove going.
Yeah, see, to me, well, I hope it continues. And if there's a lefty in the lineup, or excuse me, a lefty on the mound for the opposition, sure, yeah, continue to run him out there. But, you know, this is something that, you know, I get a lot over the course of the season with the way that Matt Cutrero utilizes his bench. You know, when a guy is hitting well, often the fans want to see more of the guy that's hitting well, which to me goes back to the chicken or egg conversation. Is it he needs more at-bats and it will continue, or is this a case of Q and the coaching staff picking the right spots and the right matchups for Darren Blanco to have success? Meaning, wouldn't he be exposed if you keep running him out there? Let's not forget, Darren Blanco's 31 years old. I know he's fast, you know, one of the fastest players in the game, and he plays with a youthful joy. He's no spring chicken out there. There's a reason why he made his, you know, big league debut just two seasons ago. I think you want to keep Darren Blanco, quite honestly, you want to keep him on the bench for that late game stolen base situation. Honestly, if you're sitting around saying, hey, Darren Blanco might be that bat to come alongside Salvi, Bobby, and Vinny, we have bigger issues. He's your Terrence Gore 2.0. Darren Blanco, to me, is not going to be the reason why this team tracks down Cleveland.
So when you look at Blanco, see, I came from the other approach. I keep him in the lineup till he proves he can't be in the lineup anymore, right? Like, you got to ride that hot hand for a little bit, don't you?
I think that's the career. I think his career has shown you that he's not an everyday player, or else, I mean, shoot, man, this team lost 106 games last year and he never turned into a regular player, an everyday player. Also, if you have him in the starting lineup, one of the key, one of the elite facets of this team, as you know, is the team speed, is that ability late in the game. We're down by one. Vinny comes through, Salvi comes through, Renfro comes through with a nice leadoff single. Darren Blanco pinch hit, or pinch run, rather. He's on third base before you have time to blink. So that threat late in the game, I want to keep it there. Furthermore, if you're facing a right-hander, you need MJ Melendez going more so than you need Darren Blanco. So I would want MJ back in there. I want Kyle Isbell in center field. I want to make sure you're putting your best defense forward. Can I ask you guys a question, though, real
sure,
quick?
Sure, yeah.
So this weekend, on every single post-game show, I received a call from a Royals and Chiefs fan celebrating the fact that that Kansas City once again dominated Cincinnati. And I'm like, what are you guys talking about? And, you know, there so many fans going on and on about, man, it feels good to beat Cincinnati. It feels nice to shut up Cincinnati. They're always running their mouth about the Bengals, running their mouth about the Chiefs. And I don't know if you guys feel that way, but to me, Kansas City should be better than that. I don't remember the Patriots fans in New England acknowledging the Chiefs or trying to shut up Chiefs fans when they were rattling off Super Bowls. It was just strange to me hearing the amount of Kansas City sports fans reveling in the fact that their baseball team beat Cincinnati.
That's interesting.
You beat Cincinnati in everything. Well, is there a rivalry? Because if I'm a Chiefs fan, I don't even think twice about the Bengals, because what have they ever done?
Well, I think our biggest rival right now, though, is the Bengals and Joe Burrow from a football side of things, because I'm not a buyer in Buffalo, and Baltimore doesn't talk enough smack, and, you know, nobody in the West is any good. So I think for me, Baltimore, but Cincinnati is our biggest rival on the football field, because Joe Burrow is just a cold-blooded, you know, killer.
Sure.
I never once thought about the Bengals, though, watching the Royals-Reds series this weekend. Like, that never even crossed my mind. Like, I don't think that we have a rival with the city. We have a rival with the football team right now, but hey, that could change very quickly if Houston becomes good and starts talking smack, you know?
But even that rivalry, and I guess, yeah, I didn't think of Ja'Marr Chase running his mouth and what
and the mayor of Cincinnati, maybe, but
yeah, to me, Cincinnati's such little brother compared to Kansas City, right? I mean, oh, you made it to a Super Bowl. That's nice. What happened when you got there? You lost. You know, I mean, Mahomes has three. He's about to get four. Burrow will probably never get back there. I I don't see the need to even, as a Royals fan, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a Royals Chiefs fan, I understand that once the season rolls around, yeah, you're going to dump on the Bengals. But if I'm a Kansas City sports fan, I don't pay any mind to Cleveland. You're so second fiddle. I don't even bother with you, man. I'm focused right now. If I'm a Chiefs fan, on the 90s Cowboys and the 80s Niners, man, this is about legacy.
Yeah, it's now. About legacy now. Yeah, yeah. And if you're the Royals right now, you're just focused on getting into the playoffs. Like, I don't know that we have a rival in baseball. And that's always kind of bothered me, but that's part of our own doing for being irrelevant for 30 of the last 35 sure. years or whatever it's been, you know? So, I mean, maybe we're trying to create that rivalry. You got to have it happen organically. And I think it's hard to have a rivalry in baseball when you're facing off a team once a year for three games, you know?
The
Cleveland Indians are more of a rival. The Twins are more of a rival than anything Cincinnati's going to roll out there from a baseball standpoint.
I look at the division, and Chicago's the team that comes to mind just because of, Chicago and their scummy fans.
Yeah, beating up our guy 30 years ago now. You
right.
know. But they're irrelevant, you know? Like, they're terrible.
I don't know, really, in this division, if there are rivalries. I mean, Milwaukee and Minnesota, maybe. Cleveland and Cincinnati. I mean, it's all interleague stuff. No, I don't really have any hatred in this division. I don't like Jose Ramirez. I don't enjoy facing him. Carlos Santana, I'm really starting to dislike because this dude's good everywhere but Kansas City.
But here!
So I find myself really rooting against a good guy in Carlos Santana, but he drives me nuts watching him rake in Minnesota. I'm like, man, they gave you all this money and you were garbage.
Terrible here.
All you did is block Vinny Pasquantino. That's the only thing I'll remember about Carlos Santana's time in KC.
Why do you think he was so awful here?
I'm guessing the environment.
Yeah, I am too. I was going to say probably.
I don't know what else. Yeah. I really can't chalk it up to anything else. 20, 21, 22. Sure, there wasn't much, if any, pitching talent, but he's a talented ball player. Didn't really have much protection, but probably didn't have much fun either because Lord knows we weren't having fun watching it.
Vern, you got the three against the Angels tonight. Like we said, the gauntlet starts after Thursday, so we hope that they can this offense going. And then real quick, 10-second answer, if you could use any bat sort of design, what would your bat design be?
Sandlot, something acknowledging the Sandlot, or maybe a Ken Burns baseball, maybe a Buck O'Neill shout-out.
Hey, there you go.
Oh, I like that. That's cool.
Josh Vern, your Royals Insider, your pregame starts tonight at 6. So, Vern, let's keep these boys rolling and keep you cooking and having a good time watching this team play baseball this summer.
Walk to the mound confidently, chest sticking out. I want you to seem arrogant when you walk out to the mound, Dusty. Come on, man.
Yes, sir.
What about me running the hot dog race? Any advice there? Have you done that before?
Yeah, don't trip.
Don't dive. Please, God, don't dive.
Yeah, please, okay. God, don't dive.
Just run through the tape.
All right.
All right, Vern, we love you.
All right, thank you.
See you, Vern.
Confident, cocky, collected. Noted. Mm-hmm. Don't need to talk about the rest of the day. We just got to get to 6 o'clock.
You can't wait till this is over.
No, I really can't. Dude. I really can't.
I can't wait till the 5th inning either. Like, now I'm nervous. I'm like,
yeah.
I feel like I should beat Cody. Again, Nate being a track star does concern me a little bit, but
yeah. And Cody's out there staring you down, drinking his coffee.
Cody's ready.
Yeah, he is.
Cody's ready. Third time's a charm for him. I'm a little nervous about that. The more the morning goes on, I'm more concerned about the smell of the suit than anything.
That's what I had to bring up, because like that's the first thing I thought. I was like, man, if you were doing this in like April, you're probably fine.
Yeah.
August 19th, that thing's been used and abused. Daddy.
But they don't use it every game, right?
Every home game,
some of them aren't just scoreboard only, though.
Drew said when they put it on last year, it was terrible.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it is.
Because
I
asked him at golf, I was like, how bad is that thing? He goes, oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
take a Neil Smith band. No, yeah,
no, that opens your eye. That opens it up.
Take
the
closer. Yeah, you need the Wade Davis.
Should I come out with like a mask, like from COVID days, like one of them N92s or whatever those things were?
Go get Andy Reid's shield.
Yeah,
that thing will really fog up, but not because of the moisture.
Dude, I won't be able
just
to see.
Stank.
Oh, God.
You're already not going to be able to see.
They let kids wear these suits, though, right? Like if a kid can do it, so can an adult.
A lot of sweat in there. Coming up on the other side, Peyton Manning We trust what he says because of who he is. Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. Lipmaster's patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at Rainer KC. Bob's got something to tell you, and we'll talk about what Peyton Manning's top five is on the other side on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
The Verve.
Bittersweet Symphony.
Yep. Would you go see this song if this was the only one they played for an hour at the KC Opera House?
One song for an hour?
Yeah.
Did they do that or something?
No, but this song they could just like keep doing and doing and doing. I remember when I saw Garth Brooks, he said that he only had one song out that people knew, and it was Much Too Young to Feel This Damn Old.
What year was that?
1988, probably.
Where'd you see him in 88?
I'm saying this is the story he was talking about.
Oh.
He said he played the song three times in one night because he's the only one that got the reaction from the crowd. Speaking of reactions from the crowd, Peyton Manning was somewhere with Stephen A. Smith, and he was talking about his top five quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks need to be coached hard.
Is he in a toilet?
And Andy Reid coaches Patrick Mahomes hard, and that's good for Patrick. That's bad for NFL defenses, right? So,
that's number one.
Patrick Mahomes, number one. God, Rangers are so hard. I mean, you get in so much trouble, you get mad about that. I'm a big fan of Joe Burrow. Right? I'm glad to see him. I'm glad to see him back healthy, right? I like the way he carries himself. I like his demeanor out there. He doesn't sweat. He doesn't flinch, right? He's just kind of calm and cool the whole time. This Justin Herbert is as talented as anybody. He can throw
one person clap.
Harbaugh, as you know, like I said, the Broncos division is going to be tough. Lamar Jackson does things that just don't seem possible with the football in his hand. He makes throws, he runs, and he's smart about, you know, he protects himself too, right? I mean, look, you know, the thing we were talking about earlier, quarterbacks that like to run, you still got to find a way to get out of bounds or get down and be there. Josh Allen, tough. I saw him this summer. I mean, he is so motivated to bring a championship to Buffalo.
Well, that won't happen. So Peyton Manning's top five.
Look, I'm motivated to, you know,
putting the number one. Well, we already can do
that.
Mahomes, Burrow, Herbert, Lamar, Allen, top five quarterbacks. Agree or disagree?
Yeah,
with that order.
It's hard. Like the order, I think, is semantical, maybe a little bit. But okay. I mean, Mahomes is obviously number one. You know, I want to put Joe Burrow at number two because I absolutely 1,000% agree with everything that Peyton Manning say. He's cool. He's calm. He's a cold blooded killer type guy.
Doesn't sweat.
Yeah, he doesn't. Right. I got to see if this guy is healthy though. Like, has he thrown a pass yet this preseason? That's the question mark. I'm not a Justin Herbert guy right now. I know Peyton likes him and he probably judges quarterbacks than me, but I just kind of look at track record and go, what has he won? And the answer is nothing, right? Doesn't even have a playoff win yet and barely over a 500 season. He has Josh Allen on that list. Again, a lot of question marks surrounding Josh Allen and that offense going into this season. A lot of new weapons are going to be there. How are they going to gel together? And the number five is Lamar. And look, he's my second favorite quarterback in the NFL. I love Lamar, but he doesn't win in the playoffs, right? He's great in the regular season. And if that's what we're judging it off of, then I would probably put him at number two. But isn't it interesting though, Dusty, when you get past Patrick Mahomes, all the other supposed like really good quarterbacks have major question marks going into this season. And that's what I find to be so fascinating about this. There's no major question marks for Patrick Mahomes going into the season, but everybody else after him, even CJ Stroud, who I'm in love with, that guy's got question marks because he's coming off one great season. Will the league adjust to him or will he be more like Patrick Mahomes and never let the league catch up to him, right? We don't know the answer to that question right now. So every other quarterback that you could rank as a top quarterback, you know, in the AFC especially, right, is a quarterback that has a question mark about them or a question mark about the team surrounding them. Patrick Mahomes does no question marks.
Yeah, and I kind of veer it towards another direction is, which quarterback do you think has the most to prove this year when you look at the top quarterbacks, right?
I think it's Joe Burrow.
So there's one, right?
What about you?
I don't know because I don't know if it's CJ Stroud.
See, I don't think it is him. I think
sophomore year.
Yeah, not yet.
But it's a sophomore year. Herbert's got the foot injury.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson, the best team in the AFC last year. Can you keep that going?
I think people are always going to look at Lamar Jackson as a great, no matter what he does in the playoffs. Because I think people are kind of like me. I just love him so much. Yeah. Right. Like, I love him as a person. I love him as a player. I want to see him obviously have success, but Patrick's in the way, and that's not going to happen. I think Lamar Jackson is always going to get that free pass where people don't look at the playoff stuff. Maybe they will start eventually.
Yeah.
But I just feel like where the Bengals are with the wide receivers that they have, most likely the last year they're going to keep the band together.
Right.
And Joe Burrow coming off injury, I think there's a lot of pressure on Joe Burrow this year. What do you think? Mac.
Yeah, I think honestly, I was gonna say Lamar, but I think you're right when you talk about that. A lot of people kind of give him that pass, but two MVPs now. If he starts to this season again loses in the divisional or God forbid the wild card, I think it's gonna be real bad. The backlash.
What are you supposed to do about that though? If you're Lamar Jackson or any of these quarterbacks, and perennially you're losing to Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, is there another category that we need to create? And I'm not joking about this. A versus other quarterbacks not named Patrick Mahomes in the postseason category. Because I think you probably see Josh Allen differently. I think you'd probably see Lamar Jackson differently. I think you probably would see even Joe Burrow a little bit, even though he beat Mahomes in the postseason. Do we need to start a new category of postseason games played not facing Patrick Mahomes? No. Because you're going against Mahomes, you're getting your ass kicked. That's just the way it goes.
No, I mean, that's... Sorry, I mean...
So it makes it bigger if you somehow beat Mahomes in the playoffs.
Right, like you look at... But the other thing, too, is that it's so weird because you talked about being semantical with the list. You could be semantical with the losses of Patrick Mahomes. Like, the reason why Cincinnati was able to flex the hog that they could is because they beat Patrick Mahomes in his home stadium in the AFC Championship game.
Right.
Whereas... somebody might beat Patrick Mahomes in a divisional round, and then we could be like, well, they had a bad game and it was early. Whereas, like, if you're Joe Burrow, you get 10 more brownie points because you beat him in his stadium the AFC Championship game. That's why the game was so big for Buffalo last year. That's why the game was so massive for Baltimore. It was, he's out of his comfort zone. Is he? Have you seen his road record? Like, maybe we don't worry about things until they actually get there instead of being like, oh, we got him on unfamiliar territory. No, his road record's pretty damn good, too. And his playoff record is pretty good as well. In fact, he's got 3 losses total in the playoffs. 1 to Cincinnati, 2 are to Tom Brady.
Yeah.
One of them's in the Super Bowl. The other 2 in the AFC Championship game. So, again, never beat Brady in the playoffs when it mattered. It happens to Mahomes, too.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
And it can happen to those guys, too, just like it happened to the Elijah Wans, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you got to beat Jordan eventually, and you do, but how many times did you do it?
Well, Elijah Wans did it without beating Jordan.
Right, he beat the Magic.
He got lucky.
He beat the Knicks once.
And sometimes that's going to happen, and that's where the default is going to fall into. And if I'm anybody, I don't know why these guys aren't signed up to play quarterback in the NFC.
Yeah.
But for some reason... they got drafted. They got their contract. They know what they got.
That's why everybody tells you Aaron Rodgers is smart.
Yeah.
Is he really? He chose to play for the Jets. Not only did he choose to play for the Jets, he chose to play in the AFC that's dominated by Patrick, that's dominated by Lamar, that's dominated by Burrow, that's dominated by Allen, that's getting close to being dominated by CJ Stroud, right? Like, Aaron Rodgers chose to go to the AFC. How's that Cal education paying off, Aaron?
Mm. We got a text with a name suggestion for Most Pressure. Want to see what y'all think about it from the 660. Mm. Trevor Lawrence, Most Pressure?
I think there's a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure.
Trevor Lawrence from outside of Jacksonville.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Most people in Jacksonville are retired, and the most pressure they have is trying to find more pudding.
You still love pudding.
You will again when you get old. And then you're like my friend Jerry Anselmo, robbing the fridge at John Knox Village for all of the chocolate pudding. They busted him the other night. It was sad.
Well, speaking of robbing, the Royals robbed the fan base of the Cincinnati Reds this past week. And we dive into why this season was massively important for the Kansas City Royals. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Leggett. It's 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports Radio.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.